You're looking for him in the wrong place. I heard a story about a guy who lost his keys, and he was under this street lamp, and he was looking for his keys. And he was looking for his keys. And somebody came and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for my keys." And so the person kept looking for the keys, and they couldn't find them. He said, "Well, do you know where you lost them at?" He said, "Yeah, I lost them in my house. But the light is better out here."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Search for God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Search for God.
Of one of our all-time favorite movies, The Wizard of Oz. You remember, Dorothy had a desire to go home. And she wanted to go home, but she was trapped in the Land of Oz. And so as she was trapped in the land, I began to think about this. While she was trapped in the land, what does she have to deal with? If you'll go to the next slide. What does she have to deal with as she was trapped in the Land of Oz? The next one. She had to deal with fearful folks. Right? I mean, they were on the journey. She had to deal with fearful people who accompanied her on the journey. What else did she have to deal with? People that didn't have any heart. She had to deal with folk that had a lack of heart, who didn't have passion, who didn't have desire, who couldn't feel things. She had to deal with these folk along the way. She had to deal with folk that had a lack of knowledge, that didn't know things, that were ignorant, that were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. Oh, but other things that she had to deal with was flying monkeys. I don't know about you, but I dealt with some flying monkeys last week. Aggravating individuals. And she had to deal with wicked witches, people who were against her, people who opposed her, people who ridiculed her and tried to destroy her, all in the Land of Oz. And Dorothy goes on this journey, right? And she's on this journey. We're off to see the wizard. She's on this journey to find the wizard. And she deals with all these knuckleheads along the way, when all she had to do with the ruby slippers was, and it was over. She didn't have to deal with it anymore. Her deliverance was as close as her feet. And why is it that we deal with the fearful and the heartless and the uneducated and the flying monkeys and the wicked witches? Why do we deal with them when all we have to do is find God who is near to us? Find God who is right here. And God will help us to deal with every situation like that. All you got to do is click your heels, and God is right there. He'll show up to help you deal with whatever situation that you come across, that God is there. And so what is the range of the search? Oh, let's not be uninformed. Let's not think that this is some long, drawn-out search that we're going to go on. But the search is right here. It's as near as your heart. And God is right here. And all you have to do is find him. God was not telling the Israelites to travel from Babylon all the way back to Israel. He was not telling them to travel from earth to the moon. All he was telling them was to look within yourself. That the answers to your problems, that the range in which your problems can be dealt with and the answers to your problems can be found and you can find me is right here. I'm right here. Well, how is God right here? First of all, God is right here in his word. If you want to find God, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to run around the world. If you want to find God, here he is. Here he is, right here. You know, when I think about a person who writes an autobiography. Why do they write that? They write that because they want you to know about their life. And so they write it so that other people can read it so they can know about them. God has written an autobiography. Here goes his autobiography. And right here, all you got to do is read it and you will find God. How do you find God? Well, as you read the word, you ask yourself, what does this say about God? If I read that the heavens declare the glory of God, then I say, well, what does that say about God? That says that God is creator, that he is glorious. And then I ask the question, well, what does that mean to me? You know, it's good to know that we talked about last week. It's good to know that about God, but what does that mean to me? And then I begin to see God, and I begin to know God, and I begin to find God. If you want to find God, this thing is profound because it seems like we got to search, but it yet is simple because it's right here. God is right here where he can be found. And you know, the problem is that many people are looking for God in the wrong place. You're looking for him in the wrong place. I heard a story about a guy who lost his keys, and he was under this street lamp, and he was looking for his keys. And he was looking for his keys. And somebody came and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for my keys. And so the person kept looking for the keys, and they couldn't find them. He said, well, do you know where you lost them at? He said, yeah, I lost them in my house, but the light is better out here. Looking for God in the wrong place. And some folk, you know, you think you're going to find God, you know, out in worldly activities. You think you're going to find God in relationships. You think you're going to find God because your bankroll is fat. You think you're going to find God because you got this or you got that. You're not going to find God. You're looking in the wrong place. If you're going to find God, you've got to look in his word. Oh, it's not something that's deep. It's not something that's out there. But every day, every morning I get up, I find God. I sit there and I read my Bible, and God reveals himself to me. And I say, Lord, I found you. I found you. Where else can we find God? We can find God working in our situation and in our circumstances. A lot of times God is trying to speak to us through our circumstances. Somebody said that God whispers to us in the good time, and he yells at us in the bad times. Sometimes God will allow situations and circumstances to come our way because he wants us to see him. And so whatever situation you're going through, look for God in it. God is working. You're a child of God. You love God. You serve God. Where is God in this situation? Find God in it. And then God is working in your spirit. He speaks to you in your spirit. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. God will speak to you. I don't know how many times that the Lord has spoke to me in his spirit. He's just whispered in my ear and let me know what it was that he wanted me to do. God will speak to us in his spirit. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, God speaking to Elijah, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. Look at this. God tells Elijah, go stand up on the mountain. And he stands up there, and God passes by, or let's put this, a wind passes by, and the wind shakes the mountains and breaks it apart. But notice what the scripture says. It says, but the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was a great earthquake. The earth shook and opened up and swallowed things up. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire that consumed things. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" God speaks to us through that still, small voice. But see, saints, here's the problem. The problem is that if you haven't conditioned your mind to hear the voice of God by being in the Word of God, by taking in the things of God, that you might hear the wrong voice. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, he said that there are many voices in the world. And one of those voices is the voice of the devil. And so that's why we have to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. We have to spend time with the Lord in His word, in His prayer, because if we don't, then we hear all kinds of voices. But if we will just get quiet, as the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. If we will just get still, God will speak to us through a still, small voice. Some of the vision that God has given me for a radio ministry, for a Bible institute, for a counseling ministry, have come during those times of a still small voice. That the Lord just quietly spoke to my heart, and I heard what He said. And saints, how do you find God? You find God through that still small voice, the Holy Spirit working within you. The Spirit of God lives in your life. And sometimes we just need to get quiet. And like I said, the thing we have to be careful is that we are focused on God and that we are spending time with Him, because if we're not, then we might hear the wrong voice. We might hear something and it might not be the voice of God. But if we will set our heart aright with Him, then He will speak to us and we will hear His voice. What is the range of the pursuit, of the chase, of the search? The range, it's right here. It's right here in the Word, in your circumstances, and in your spirit. Finally, what are the rewards of the search? What are the rewards of the search? The first thing is that you will sense His presence. That God told the children of Israel, if you'll turn back to Jeremiah chapter 29, what was their reward? He told them in verse 14, He said, if you find me, He said, when you seek me with all your heart and you find me, He said in verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will, look, these folk were in captivity. And what was He going to do? I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places to which I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place from where I caused you to be carried away. Amen. That was a reward for seeking God. When they found Him, that God would restore them. Once again, might be 70 years down the road, but He would restore them once again. What does it mean to find God? What are the rewards of finding God? First of all, it means to sense His presence. It means to know that you know that God is with you. It means that no matter who stands against you, that it could be the whole world and Satan and everybody else, but if you know that God is with you, if you know that God is standing with you, you can stand strong. You can stand firm. If you know that you're doing the right thing and you're standing for the right thing, God is with you and you can stand firm. And I think of the priests in the Old Testament, how that once a year they would go into the Holy of Holies to offer a sacrifice for the people. And that when the priests went into the Holy of Holies, there was the manifested presence of God, and how they must have felt an awe and how they must have felt a reverence to know that now they were in the presence of God. They knew it. They felt the presence of God. I remember when I was in seminary one evening, there was a couple up the street that was having some problems.
And the lady was struggling, and she asked my wife if she would go up and talk to her. And so my wife went up and began to minister to the lady. And it got to be late on into the evening, between 11 and 12 o'clock. And finally my wife came back, and you know, we were lying in bed, and we were talking about praying for the situation. And my wife kept telling me, she said, "Bill, there's something in here." I said, "There's nothing in here." She said, "Bill, there's something in this room." And I said, there's nothing in this room. And so we had talked, and all of a sudden she turned the other way and let her arm hang off the side of the bed. And when her arm went off the side of the bed, there was a cat in the room. I don't know how it got in there, but there was a cat in the room. And my wife hit the cat, and she screamed. The cat screamed. I screamed. We all screamed for ice cream. No, just kidding. Yeah. We all screamed. And I chased that cat around our apartment. I don't know how long. Eventually, we got the cat out of the house. But, because it wasn't our cat. And so, the thing that I remember vividly about that is how that my wife knew that there was something in the room. She knew there was a presence in the room. And when you find God, you will end up in his presence. And saints, there's been times in my life that I just felt the presence of God so strong. I mean, I just felt his presence. It would almost be like if somebody famous that you admired and you respected came into the room, and that this person was in the room, and even though you would try to keep doing what you've been doing, there would be what? A sense of what? Man, this person is in the room. That they're in the room. And you would just feel that, and you would just know that. That's what it means to find God. When you find God, you sense his presence. You sense that he's with you. You sense that as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you don't have to fear any evil because God is with you. Secondly, it means that you come to know the character and the purposes of God. That whenever you find God, you will know his character. I'm going to preach a message. I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but it's going to be on knowing God. And when we know God, we know how he works. We know how he operates. We know how he moves in our life. When we know him, we know what he wants, and we know how to accomplish his will and what he wants. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus speaking to his disciples. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep." Woo! Woo! Look at this. "And am known of mine." I know my sheep, and they know me. Do you know him today? And then he goes on in verse 16. Look what he says. He said, verse 16. "And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, that also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." What did Jesus say? "My sheep hear my voice." You know, it's interesting. Sometimes my wife and I, when we go out to dinner, that we'll be talking, and somebody will come up to me and say, "Are you on the radio? Are you Pastor Glaze?" And I say, "Yeah." And they say, "Watch this. I'd know that voice anywhere." I mean, just my wife and I just sitting there talking. And people maybe sitting across from us, maybe walking by. Boy, your voice sounds familiar. Watch this, saints. Watch this. Does your voice sound, does Jesus' voice, does God's voice sound familiar to you? That if you are walking through life, can you recognize his voice? Just like those people recognize my voice. There's something distinct about that. There's something that clicks in their mind. And they say, "I've heard that voice before. That guy comes on the radio, 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday, 101.5 FM on your dial." Do you recognize the voice of God like that? that when God speaks to you, do you know it's him? Do you recognize his voice? When you have found God, that means that you recognize his voice, that you know him, you know his character, and you know his purposes. Look at John 14:9. This is a bad testimony right here. This is a bad testimony. John 14:9. Jesus said unto Thomas, or Philip, excuse me. Look what he said. Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you such a long time, and you have not known me? Wow. Wow. Philip, have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know me? Amen. Can God say that about you? You've been saved for 30 years, and you still don't know me. You've been teaching classes, but you still don't know me. You've been having devotions, but you still don't know me. Amen. What a poor testimony. Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you still don't know me? You still don't know me. What does it mean to find God? It means to know him. Amen. It means to get to know him. And then finally, it means that you see God move in your life. That if you know God, what does it mean to find him? It means that he's moving in your life. It means that he's working in your life. The Babylonian captives would know that God, they had found God because God was going to return them back to their homeland. This past week, and I'm going to close with this, I was in a meeting, and a couple of us were there. I don't know, where's Sister Sheila at? Where's she at? Sheila. You want to do this? You don't want to do it? Okay, she told me I could do it. All right. When was that? That was last year I went to see you. Was it last summer we went to see you in the hospital? Yeah, last summer. And Sheila had a tumor. I want to tell the story, right? That's why I wanted to check with her. On one of the bones in her leg, right? Okay. And it was inoperable because they couldn't operate at the time. And she was in the hospital dealing with all kind of issues and dealing with all kind of problems. And it's just that they had to wait. And you were in a wheelchair, right, for a long time. She was in a wheelchair. And Sheila was sharing with us in a meeting this past week that she went and the doctors looked at it and they said that the tumor was gone, that it was gone. And we almost started shouting. Sheila was getting ready to cry when she was giving a testimony, and we almost started shouting in the meeting. Well, one of the saints did start shouting. What do we see? The move of God. The move of God. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to move by healing folk and every time, or he's going, but you know what? When was the last time you saw God move? When was the last time that you saw something happen in your life and you knew, but God? But God, you knew that the only way that this thing happened was because of God. I said, man, what a powerful testimony. She knew that the only thing that could remedy that situation other than the surgery, but God. But God. See, when you search for God, you will find him. And when you find him, it means to come into his presence. It means to know him in an intimate way. And it means to see him do powerful things in your life. People that know and find God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Knowing God, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Search for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for God. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.